Right now, I'd like you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. Very good. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. And it says, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops." And so here in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul speaking to Pastor Timothy, who's pastoring the church at Ephesus, the second biggest city in the world, and he's giving him some really good pastoral advice. And in this section, he gives these three illustrations: the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, and using them as examples from which we can draw principles that speak into our spiritual lives. And so last week, as I said before, we focused on the soldier, and this weekend we're focusing on the athlete. And I would like to welcome to the platform right now Ash Humphrey. Ash is a national level 800 meter runner. He's also a personal trainer, an exercise scientist, and is also single. No worries, at least for now. Have a seat, Ash. We got Roddy Vargas, who is a professional soccer player and played a number of years for Melbourne Victory and also represented Australia internationally. Please put your hands together and welcome Roddy. And Joanne Russell, who owns and heads up the Recreation gym chain here in Melbourne, and of course conducts Bayside Conquerors, and has helped us as a church lose over 500 kilos over the last couple of years. She's also a professional hurdler and has overcome many hurdles in life. I'd like you to put your hands together and welcome Joanne Russell. These three wonderful people are all professional sports people, and they're also members of Bayside Church. And they're going to share some principles that we can glean from the athlete tonight. Ash, we'll start with you.
Thank you. We've got, as Rob's mentioned, the rather difficult task of following on from Kevin Bailey last week. I thought he spoke really well. So he set the bar pretty high, but I'm excited for what we're going to bring tonight. I think the parallel between an athlete and the Christian faith is pretty well used throughout the New Testament by Paul. I think there's at least three or four other passages I can think of where he uses that example. And I think one of the primary reasons for that is the disciplines required to walk both walks effectively are both very similar. My own experience in sport, as Rob mentioned, I'm heavily involved in athletics. I run 400 and 800 metres. And I used to play a lot of football before that, but one of the things I've found in crossing over to an individual sport is the individual focus and the fact that it's sort of all on you to commit the time to your training, and you've got to do a lot of things by yourself. It takes a great deal of discipline as opposed to just turning up when you're required to turn up, as the team rules state. It's really all on you. So there's a lot of work you've got to do behind closed doors, and I personally have found that somewhat difficult to adjust to over the last few years. A good example of that, something I really struggle with, is my nutrition. Those that know me pretty well know that I like a good meal, some donuts, milkshakes, all these sort of things are weaknesses for me. But I've really had to sort my life out a bit and really focus on getting that area of my life sorted. And that's a discipline I've had to implement. Another one that I really dislike doing at home, I have to do a lot of this, is stretching. Obviously training almost every day, I get very tight, and one of the requirements for me to be able to recover and get back on the track the next day is to spend a good 20 to 30 minutes a night stretching. And this is very tedious. This is something, again, whereby the onus is on me to do it, but I just have to do it. It's a discipline that's in my life, and I think it's a great parallel with our faith, whereby it's on us. You know, we come to church on a weekend, and that's one night or morning, depending on when you come, and it's great, you've got people around you, you've got I suppose a time whereby you have to be here, therefore you get here close to that time, but I'm occasionally a bit late. But during the week when there are no services, it's really on you to actually open your Bible and spend some time with God. And for some people, that can be really difficult. I know early on in my walk, that was very difficult because even if you don't have a great deal on during a day, you can sort of just say, well, we'll get it done later on. We'll push it back. And before you know it, it's, you know, at the middle of the night and it hasn't been done. And this is something, again, when I'll go back to my stretching and the sort of little things I've got to do at home to look after my body. This is sort of something that occurred a lot early on in my athletics career. I would push it back and in the end it just didn't happen. But what happens when I didn't do that stretching was I'd go to training the next day and I'd be very sore and I wouldn't be as sharp as if I actually did do what I was meant to do. Again, going back to reading the Word and spending time with God, I think the results are very similar. If you don't put the time in to do that on a given day, I personally, I don't know about you guys, but I don't feel as sharp. I don't feel like I'm ready to go as well as I do when I do get up that 10 minutes earlier and spend the time reading my Bible and whatever other devotional things I do. So as I said, I think it's a great parallel between the two disciplines. And for me, with my sport, to do these little things, these sort of what I call one percenters in the things you do away from the track, the things you do behind closed doors, you really need a great deal of conviction about what you're doing to actually do the small things. If you don't have a reason behind why it is you're competing, some sort of goal you're striving towards, you're not gonna get the job done. Another example in my life, I have to try and go to bed relatively early, which again has been a real challenge for me. I like to stay up and stay out with my mates and that sort of thing. But, you know, I try and get to bed during the week most nights by about 10:30 and that's been a huge challenge. But, you know, I can reap the rewards the next day by having a good rest and feeling good. And I also can reap the rewards in knowing that I'm doing the right thing in looking after my body and therefore I'm going to be a step closer to the goals I want to achieve with my sport. And there's a scripture I've got here I wanted to share from Philippians 3, verse 14, whereby Paul writes that he presses on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which Christ has called me. Now, I reckon Paul was pretty good at doing that. He had a pretty rough trot. Quite a few things went against him. There would have been many times where it would have been easy for him to give up, but he had this conviction I'm talking about in his heart. He had an end goal that he could see, a vision of where he wanted to go. And therefore, he put up with these trials and he did these small things every day in spending time with God and acquiring strength from God in order to help him reach this end goal he had in mind. So I suppose, the basic gist of what I wanted to share was that in our walk with God, we need this conviction. We need to understand what we're doing here. Why are we following Jesus? Because I think there are a portion of Christians that come to church and they come to church because perhaps they've got a family background in Christianity or perhaps their friends come, whatever it is. But for them personally, they don't quite have an end goal in mind. They don't really have a race, so to speak, that they're running. And I think that really is imperative if we're going to walk lives of discipline and ultimately walk lives whereby we're going to get the most out of our potential. I always think it's quite tragic and you read countless articles in the sport papers throughout the week of athletes, namely footballers, doing the wrong thing, you know, maybe going out and drinking alcohol or missing team meetings and that sort of thing. And for me, who spent a lot of time around football clubs, I think they're the sort of people that just don't quite have that goal, that sort of understanding of what they're doing and that sort of conviction about where their career is going. They're sort of there because they've been lucky to get picked up and they're happy to get the paycheck at the end of the day, but they don't really have anything more beyond that they're striving towards. And I think it's very similar again with our faith. You know, if you don't have something you're striving for, there's a good chance that you'll sort of drop the ball every now and again. So yeah, that was basically what I wanted to share. Az gave me a very, very kind introduction before. I reckon if I'm a male model, this guy's got to be Hollywood because he's a very fine specimen. So without further ado, I'll pass it on to you, mate.
Excellent.
That's some really good stuff. Just before Roddy shares, I omitted to mention before that after Joe has spoken, we're going to have a time of Q&A for about 10 minutes. And so we'll have three roving mics, one for each section. So if a question comes to mind while these guys are speaking, why don't you just jot it down and then we'll have around 10 minutes for Q&A. That'd be great. Back to Hollywood.
Thank you. Yeah, look, what Ash said was spot on. And I might repeat a few things maybe in a different way, and obviously we've all had our experiences, and mine are different to his, and every individual person here has different experiences. So the three things I'm just going to touch on is one is obedience. I got notes here because I haven't got a very good memory. The second one is preparation, and the third one is rest. And for me as an athlete, being involved in a professional setup for a few years, one of the most important things for me was to be obedient. What I mean by being obedient as an athlete is, in a group setting as a sports team, there's one coach. There's only one leader, and it's the same thing in our Christian faith. We have a God who loves us and Jesus, and he's the only person that we should be following and listening to. And that's something that I learned pretty quickly in my sport, that we need to be all striving for the same thing, for the same goal. We need to be on the same page. I've played pretty much all my life in a team sport. I've never been in an individual sport like Ash, and I have a lot of admiration for him because I was saying to him the other day that I hate running. I hate running on its own. If I'm not chasing a ball, then I won't do it. So I know it takes a lot of dedication, a lot of will to do what he does. So my hat's off to him because I couldn't do that. But like I was saying, it's important to be on the same page. And when I mean by obedience, I mean we have one coach. We all have to follow his rules. We all have to be on the same game plan. Because if we don't, we're not going to work. We're going to be heading in different directions. And it's the same thing in our Christian faith. We have to listen to the word of God. We have to be on the same page. We have to fellowship together. We have to come together and join as a group. Because like I said, I've always been in team sport, and I'm sure Ash can testify, even as in an individual sport, he can't do it by himself. He needs a coach. He might need physios to give him massages. When he was younger, I'm sure he needed his family to support him, to drive him around. So it's never an individual thing. You can't do it by yourself. Likewise at church, when God created us, didn't create us to be on our own. We need to be together with others, building each other up and supporting each other. If we're on our own, then we're going to stumble and we're going to struggle. So that's a parallel I can draw from being an athlete and playing in a team sport, that we need to be striving on the same page. We need to be together. And we need to come together as a family to support each other in the good times and in the bad times, because there definitely will be bad times. I've learned in my sport, there's a lot more failures than success. And I've learned a lot more from my failures than my success. And in the same way, in our walk with Christ, there's going to be a lot of failures, there's going to be a lot of times where we think we've failed, we've let people down, we're not good enough. But that's why we need to be together and stick together, because there will be times when we have success, and there will be times where we can rejoice together as a family, because I'm sure everyone knows that, there's no point being on your own if you can't share that with anyone else, which is our church family. Another thing I want to touch on is preparation and food. Ash spoke about food. I love food as well. I'm lucky because I get to play. It's a different sport to Ash. I spoke to Ash yesterday and he said, how are you going to go in the heat today? It's going to be 30-something degrees. And he said to me, I'm only running, it's probably 40-second race. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. I'd love to do a 40-second race. But I'm not taking anything away from his sport, but I'm just referring to in terms of what we eat, because I spoke to him about eating, and my eating habits before a game are probably very different to Ash's, because I compete for 90 minutes, sometimes a bit longer than that. So what I eat is very important to my sport. I eat 4 or 5 hours before a game. I'm extremely pedantic about timing, when I eat, what I eat. My wife's here, you can speak to her after about it. Not that she cooks all the time. She does 99% of the cooking for match day. But food is a very important part of my preparation in playing a team sport. Like I said, what I eat, when I eat, the timing of when I'm eating, what's going into my body, am I hydrating enough? And all these things are key elements to me being able to perform to the best of my ability. If I don't eat properly before a game, I won't be able to perform. I'll become weak. I'll deteriorate quickly. My concentration levels will go down. I won't be able to be as effective as I possibly can be when I'm doing all the right things. In the same way, with our Christian faith and our walk with God, our spiritual food is the Word of God. It's the Bible. That's our food. So we need to be eating food every day. If we stop eating and we think, oh, you know, I read the Bible last week, or, you know, I've read a few chapters, then that's where the enemy wants us. That's when he'll attack us and he'll say, you know, we become weak. And when you become weak, you get tempted and you can be susceptible to sin. So food is an extremely important thing in sport. And in the same way, in our Christian walk, reading the Bible, being in touch with Christians, coming to church, our spiritual food is the most important thing to us. That's what we need to keep us strong, to build ourselves up, to build others up as well. And I remember reading or seeing a sermon a while ago, and it was about a soldier as well, and they related food to a soldier as well. If you're not eating and you're a soldier and you're on the battlefield, you get very, very weak very quickly, and the likelihood of getting hit or getting killed, they're a lot higher. In the same way in our Christian walk, if we're not reading our Bible, if we're not spending time in prayer, if we're not fellowshipping with others in connect groups or whatever else it is, we'll become weak and we'll be susceptible to temptation and to all other things. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us. He wants to keep us alone. He doesn't want to keep us together as a family fellowshipping. So that's a very important thing for me, and I'm sure you guys hopefully agree that you know, reading God's Word in the Bible should be one of the most important things in our daily walk with Jesus. The last thing I'll touch on is rest. And being from South America, I love rest. It's sometimes they call it a siesta or a sleep. Today I trained in the morning and I got home and I lay on the bed and my wife was next to me reading and she said, "Darling, are you resting or are you going to sleep?" And I said to her, "Oh, at the moment I'm resting with my eyes shut, but I'll probably fall asleep." So that's another important part of being an athlete. As Ash said, resting for your body to recover. After a tough training session, it's important to rest. It's important for your muscle repair. It's important to be able to go again the next day if you need to. And in the same way, in our Christian walk, you know, it's important for us to rest. You know, God says to rest. You know, in Genesis 2, when God created everything, I'm sure God didn't need rest in the physical form because he never gets tired. But, you know, on the seventh day, he rested. And I think that's a principle for us as well as Christians, that we need to rest. You know, we can't just be too busy doing things for God, being busy, because if we don't stop and rest, we won't ever hear God speak to us, you know. And when you don't rest, a lot of times, I've known myself being an athlete, when I don't rest and I keep going, don't get enough sleep, that's when I get susceptible to injuries. I can become extremely grumpy. And a lot of things that aren't natural to me take part because I haven't rested. The same thing with us as Christians. We need to rest because we can become so busy in the things of God and miss so many things because we're just busy, busy wanting to do things and not taking time to rest. And that's a really important thing for me. Spiritually, physically as well, I think they all link up. So they're the three things I just wanted to share with you guys, and I hope it's been beneficial, and I will pass on to Joe now. Thank you.
Terrific. Well, thanks very much. It's great. What the guys have said is really, you know, rounded up what we're all on about today, which is what can we learn out of the physical realm that applies to the spiritual realm. When I first became a Christian, my whole background was in the physical realm. So I'd spent my whole life understanding how to grow strength, endurance, and how to finish the race and to train. So that was my background. So the first thing that really hit me when I became a Christian was the incredible parallels with spiritual growth. That, you know, that there's scripture after scripture that says if you want to grow spiritually, then you have to have discipline and self-control, that it's going to be tough, that you go through hard times and the burdens are the things that grow you. And it related to me really well. And I thought, you know what, there's one creator. He's had a pattern where a tripart being, mind, body and spirit, and he's used pretty much the same pattern for each one. Now, if we can understand what it takes to grow in the physical realm, because it's tangible, I get it, we all get it, and if we think, well, if that's true in the physical, then it's probably true and it will be true in the spiritual. And what I want us to do today is to really think about what you can learn in terms of spiritual growth by looking at what is required in the physical realm. So there's going to be a few challenges because there's a few training sessions coming up and I don't think you're going to like them. And I'm sure that Ash doesn't love every one of those 800 metres that he has to do. But if he wants to be what he wants to be and get a little faster, he's going to have to do the session. All training, all growth physically requires overload. I want to talk about overload. It's very important. You will not, your body will not grow stronger without it having to bear a load that it's not used to having, okay? It requires you to be out of your comfort zone. If you are in the comfort zone, nothing is going to change because there's no requirement for it to change. Does that make sense? Nothing grows in the comfort zone. Okay, so if you need to increase your strength and you want to increase your strength, you need to have a resistance that is more than you're used to doing, okay? Now, if you've got a good trainer, and a lot of us have had great trainers, the trainer will give you a burden, a resistance. But a good trainer will not allow you to have more than you can bear. A good trainer will allow you to struggle. A good trainer understands it's in your best interest. But a good trainer will give you just enough help, like that, Rob, with a finger, one finger, so that you can just get there. Your God will expect you to carry a burden, to struggle. You will get one finger of help, but he will never give you anything that is too much for you to bear because he knows your limits. All right? So on a spiritual level, if you're in a hard time now, if you feel that you're under burden, think, I'm in the training zone. I'm being trained. I'm being strengthened. I'm increasing my endurance. I'm running further and further each time progressively. And then after that, the good news is there comes rest because the muscle actually has some breakdown. The way that it grows physiologically is that there's so much pressure on the muscle that the fibres break down a little bit, okay? So there's a little bit of damage going on in there. And it's when you become very, very weak at the end, when you can barely do one push-up or barely do one thing, that's when you're getting your best growth. That's when you're getting the biggest breakdown. And it's in the resting afterwards that all of that builds up. The body recognises it needs to repair, restore and strengthen. And you grow stronger. It's called training. Training is hard. If it's not hard, it's not training. That's what I say. Guess what? If it's not hard, it's not training. And so if you're in a hard place, you're in a good place. It's a training place. There may be pain in the night, but the promise is that joy will come in the morning. It will be over. You don't train the whole time. You train, you rest, you restore, life's great. Then it comes again. You train, you rest, restore, life's great. Each time, what does the Bible say? We're going from glory to glory. We're being transformed, which isn't like suddenly I was black and then I was white. Transforming is I go a little grey, a little more grey, a little whatever, and you gradually go from one end to the other. It's growing. Growing pains. They're growing pains. So training is tough, but spiritual training is just the same. It's tough. Now, if Ash wants to take, and I happen to know this because we spoke, he wants to take 1.5 seconds off that 800 metre race. Doesn't sound like a lot, does it? But believe me, when you're an athlete, 1.5 seconds over 800 metres is a seriously big challenge. Now, if Ash goes to his trainer and says, listen, I really want to get that 1.5 seconds off my 800 metre race, the trainer's going, no problems. Now, he's not going to give Ash a spoonful of sugar, say, go and watch TV, go to bed. Tomorrow morning, you'll run 1.5 seconds faster. No, he'll say, no problem. If you're asking for that, you can have that. Here's your training regime. We're going to have to amp it up. You're going to have to suffer a bit more. It's going to get tougher. All right? So the reality is that training, if you ask, you know, if it actually says to me, look, I don't want to do that. That's, you know, I don't really want to do that extra training. We're going, do you want to run faster or don't you? And sometimes you have to say, do you want the blessing that you're asking for or don't you? Because you're not going to go to bed and wake up and at the end of the bed is the blessing. You will be giving in a training regime and it will be tough. If you're not prepared to do the training, then take responsibility for not having the blessing. And so the question for us is, what is it that we're being asked to train? It's pretty easy in the physical realm because you get it written out. But if you are coming up every week for the same issue, the same problem, the same bondage, and it ain't shifting, I can tell you one thing. There's a training session that you're not doing. 100%. There's a training session that you are not doing. And if you do it, sooner or later you're going to have to do it. You can't avoid the training. You've got to get through it. Or else you'll be up here every week, year after year, year after year, year after year, and going, why? Just like Ash. Why aren't I any faster? Well, if you're not going to get out and do the work, you're not going to have the result. Sometimes I think, you know, we want everything without having to put in. James 1:2, he says, consider it pure joy when you encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance, steadfastness, patience. If you pray for these things, get ready. Just get ready, because the session, it ain't going to be a spoonful of sugar. You're not coming here, we're not getting caught up in the rapture, singing the hallelujah chorus and walk out of here and suddenly it's all there. It's tough. Right. All right. Now, I love that Apostle Paul, because we all, as athletes, relate to him. He was a great spiritual athlete and he understood all this stuff. He never once prayed for the burdens to be taken away from his brothers. He never prayed for them to have an easy life. He never said, God, make it all easy for them. He prayed that they could walk in the Spirit. He prayed that they would endure. He prayed that they would grow in their faith. And he prayed that they would be living examples to other people. But he never prayed for them to have it easy. He knew that this was part of what is going to make them living examples, is for them to face these things and overcome them with faith and with growing. So God is far more interested in growing you spiritually than he is in changing your circumstances. We pray because we want to change circumstance. He's interested in maybe not giving you that, but he'll say, you know what? You're not going to have that circumstance change. That's a thorn you're going to live with forever. But I will grow you spiritually, increase your capacity to manage and live with that thorn and have a great life and to still be with it. You know, sometimes you won't pray it away. Sometimes you won't ever be the right body weight. Sometimes you won't ever have everything you want. Well, grow in the other realm. He will grow you in the spiritual realm so that you can be content with what it is that you have that you ideally wouldn't like you to have. Who here has every single thing in their life absolutely perfect? They wouldn't want to change one thing about the way they look, about how much money they earn, how much, you know, what a great, yeah, everything. A good day, on a good day, hallelujah for the good day, joy in the morning. Yeah, but you know, everyone has things that aren't exactly right. Well, that's life. Life was never meant to be easy. In this life, you will have trouble. Oh, hello. I don't remember the scripture that says, once you become a Christian, everything's great. It's just rainbow sparkles everywhere. It isn't that way. I didn't see it in my Bible. Yeah. Now, I was looking at the tennis. I love the tennis. Andre Agassi. I love what he said. Andre Agassi. His trainer, he lives in Las Vegas. You know, it's about 100 and whatever that day was last week. It's like that every day. That's not an unusual day. Every day in Las Vegas. So there's an 800 meters long hill of rubble. Nothing grows on it. And Andre Agassi's trainer said, "You are going to run up that mountain." And every day, that's what he did. And he said to him, "You know what? You get out of the mountain what you put into the mountain." That's what he said. That's the Bible says the measure you use will be used back to you. The Bible says what you sow, you reap. You understand in training, if you don't put in, you don't get out. How come in the spiritual realm and in the world, we think we can get stuff out and get away with not putting stuff in? It doesn't add up. Do you know what I mean? So the thing is, people often pray for things they want out of life, but the prayer really should be, "Lord, show me what it is I need to put in. Please help me to understand what I need to give, instead of please give me something out of life." So if you get out of your training what you put into your training, you get out of your relationships what you put into your relationships, you get out of your faith what you put into your faith, you get out of life what you put into life. So there's a few training sessions. Here's the part that I need you to take away. Maybe you need to have a couple, just sample spiritual training lessons. If you want more out of your relationship, maybe you have to put in forgiveness. If you want a better job, maybe you need to respect the authority of your boss, even if you don't agree with them. If you want to increase finances, maybe you have to put in the willingness to go without stuff you want. If you want increased health, maybe you have to have the discipline to follow a healthy life and exercise regularly. If you want to own your own business, I hope you're prepared to put in the courage to take a risk and broad shoulders to accept responsibility, because the buck is going to stop with you. If you want more friends, then be a better friend. If you want your kids helped, go and help someone else's kids. If you want more freedom, be prepared to live within godly boundaries. If you want people's respect and trust, then put a guard on your mouth and stop gossiping about them behind their back. If you want peace, then return a harsh word with a gentle tongue. If you want progress, then forget what is behind. Let go of bitterness, resentment, and you strain forward to the prize that's ahead of you. So if you're going to stay back there in that resentment and bitterness, you ain't going to get that prize. If you want less strife in your life, then turn the other cheek and do not return an insult with an insult, an offence for an offence, and just drag yourself down into that level. You take the high road, the hard road, the right road, the godly road. If you want to be set free from bondage, then take responsibility for what's keeping you there, right? So I have got the thing, but the last thing I just want to say is you've got to show up for the session. Now listen, I have people show up to the gym sometimes. They dress for the gym, they show up to the gym, and they sit in the massage chair. They don't go up and do any weights. True story. What would happen if Ash dressed for training, showed up at training, but then just sunbaked? You know, if you're not prepared to do the session, then don't get angry with your trainer that you haven't got the outcome. You know what? There are people that dress for church, show up for church, sit in church, and they are not prepared to do the session. They're not prepared to do the session. If you're going in a circle, if you're struggling with something now, you pray to be shown from your trainer, what is my session, and you do it. Because the Bible says that anyone who says, "Lord, Lord," he will not enter the kingdom of heaven, only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus said, "My brothers and sisters are those who obey my Father's command." If you're not obeying, if you're not doing the session, you are not growing spiritually. You are spiritually dead. Faith without works going to the gym and not doing the weights is dead. There's nothing. It's not living. So I just to wrap up, Jesus is the trainer. He's a great trainer. Listen, if you want to sign up spiritually to a great trainer, I would sign up. But if I said to Christy, I'm going to sell my house, everything I've got, because I want you to have a free trainer. I will pay for it. Great cost to myself, but I will pay for your trainer. And then she would say, that's great. And then I would be very offended and upset if she then didn't bother to take that up after I had gone to that extent. Jesus died and gave us a Holy Spirit trainer, personal trainer that comforts, guides, encourages us and tells us, convinces us of what we're meant to do. He died to give you a free personal trainer. Now, you do the session because an insult to your trainer and you're not loving your trainer, you're not, you know, if you don't do the session. If you haven't signed up, I am sure there's an opportunity sometime in this service that you can sign up to a free trainer, and I suggest you take that opportunity. Thank you.
That was awesome. Wow. That was so good. That was so inspiring. I'm going to give you an opportunity to sign up for the trainer right now. So why don't we just bow our heads and close our eyes right across this auditorium. Couldn't be said better. These three have just absolutely nailed it tonight. And if you would like Jesus Christ to be your Lord, your Saviour, your spiritual trainer, you might not even understand all that entails, but there's something on the inside of you that says, yes, this is what I want. I want you to raise your hand up nice and high right now. God bless you there, mate. That's wonderful. Anyone else like to join us, man? Lift your hand up. Not going to embarrass you in any way. Just giving you an opportunity right now to accept personally what Jesus Christ has done for you through his death and resurrection. To come into life with him, to have a relationship with your Creator. And I'll ask one more time if that's something that you would like to begin tonight. Lift your hand up high. Okay, I'm going to say a prayer, and I want each and every one of you, just as you're seated, bowed in prayer, let's all say this together. The man you just raised your hand, I want you to make this your prayer tonight, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. I've been challenged tonight, and I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior and my spiritual trainer. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my life, to forgive me, to wash me clean, and to fill me with your strength. I'll live for you and serve you from tonight onwards in your precious name. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's so good. So good. Nolene, if you'd like to catch up with the gentleman straight afterwards, we've got a Bible for you and some information. That'd be great. We're going to have a quick Q&A time. So our people with the mics, if you would like to start roving. And anyone have a question? Yep, right in the middle there, toward the back. All right. Just direct your question. Keep your questions nice and short and sharp, if you could, please, and direct it to either Joe or Roddy or Ash. That'd be great.
Hello. Right, I'd just like to know if fasting is a part of your discipline.
Okay, I'll be quick. Yeah, fasting is. It's not a part of my sports regime. But if you want, there's things that I don't eat, you know, at times. So you could say that I do fast from certain things before a game. But it is an important part of our spiritual journey to fast. The Bible says prayer and fasting go together, so it is an important part of both my spiritual and athletic self. Yeah.
Yeah, I never actually fasted food, but I spoke with Rob. It'd be very difficult for me to do that. Probably have a sort of backwards effect with my faith, to be honest. I'd probably be pretty grumpy all the time. But I actually spoke with Pastor Rob around April time last year, and I actually fasted running for 40 days at the end of last season. And I told my coach, and he nearly hit me. He was not impressed, but I had 40 days where I didn't do any training at all. And at the conclusion of that, I got back into training, and I was obviously a bit sluggish, but I hadn't lost too much. And within probably a week, I was sort of praying. I said, God, I really need you to help me. I've sort of fallen behind a bit. And within a week of that, I met a guy who was watching me train, and he said, I reckon I could find 3 seconds off your time. You're not lifting your knees high enough when you run. Your arm action's all sloppy, and I think with my technique work, I could really help you improve. And I've worked with this guy for about 7 months now, and there's no doubt that he's helped my technique enormously. And I honestly believe that a large part of that was the fact that I fasted, and God sort of repaid me for the time I missed. So there you go.
Well, I don't fast, but I will say something that's kind of interesting, that there's a diet out at the moment called the 5-2 diet, and I've done a bit of research on that, and it's partial fasting, and if you do very low food on two non-consecutive days, the research shows that it actually enhances your cognitive ability, reduces dementia, it invigorates the organs, because digestion's a very heavy going thing for the system. So it invigorates the internal organs, and it actually elevates your metabolism. And so the study shows that when you have exactly the same calories through all the different people, if the people fasted partially on the 2 days, they lost twice as much body fat as the ones that ate the same calories but just had a reduction across the week. So it's not that hard to say to pick 2 days of the week to eat 500 calories and all the rest can be normal and you'll get twice as much response. So anyway, it's a bit off topic, but it was the question.
It's just a question, really, following on from yesterday on the news. They had Ian Thorpe, the Olympic swimmer, talking about big depression that he was going through as a top athlete. I just wondered if you could share a little bit about how God has helped you in your Christian faith with the mental side of being a sports person.
Is that for all of us?
And maybe Roddy, I was thinking about you particularly.
Look, it's hard. I've known teammates that once they've finished their careers, fall into depression and they don't know what to do next in their life. And that's why it's been so important to keep my faith even when I'm playing sport. And I've always said to people, being a Christian is a 24/7 thing. It's not a, you know, on the weekend or, you know, when I play on the soccer field, I just turn into this raging beast for 90 minutes and I forget about being a Christian. In the same way in your workforce or whatever sport you're doing or wherever you are, you know, being a Christian is—it's not something you just turn on and off. And that's been the key thing to help me with my semi-retirement, because I'm no longer playing fully professional. I'm part-time now, and having something more, something else than just putting all my eggs into sport and thinking that's, you know, that's the most important thing in my life has helped me immensely. I know that, you know, God's got a plan for me, and you know, my sport and whatever I've done and whatever job you're doing at the moment, you know, it can be part of God's plan, but God's always got something more and something better and something else. It's not the end. So that's something that's always helped me along. I mean, I remember playing a grand final and we lost on penalties. And, you know, for about 20 minutes I was shattered. I probably remember crying, but then on the way home I was in the car with my wife and, you know, we were laughing and joking like nothing had happened. It didn't mean that I didn't care. It just meant that there was more important things in life.
A question for Ashley. as a young top athlete and also being a Christian, how do you cope with that in your daily life?
Yeah, good question. There certainly are challenges, I think, in being an athlete and trying to walk a Christian walk, and I'm sure Roddy and Joe would both attest to this. You do live a very unique lifestyle. You know, you've sort of got to be competitive when you need to be competitive, but also compassionate, and it's been difficult for me at times to see how the two things fit together. But I've had a lot of help from Cam Butler, who's here somewhere, who's a sports chaplain, and there are some really good sport ministries out there that can help you through the process. I think as well, and again, I'm sure Roddy would have experienced a fair bit of this back in his day, as a young male athlete, it can be hard. There's sort of a bit of a culture, especially in team sports, of, you know, drinking and picking up girls and that sort of thing. But that's where it just comes back to your convictions, I guess, and knowing why you're doing what you're doing. You know, you're walking a walk, and you've just got to be strong in that, and people respect that, I think, if you're really open about it. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, can we just put our hands together for Joe and Roddy and Ash? Sensational, you guys.